Hello and welcome to the greatest show on earth, Block Bites, the only channel with 100% success rate in enriching your life. It's me, Corval, with you today. I got Beavis in the studio, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about smart contract eligibility, upgradability. We're going to be talking a little bit about that Kyber swap hack. It's pretty crazy. And also, I'm not lying, dude. I'm going to show you how to make your life so much better by Christmas. So stay tuned, folks. Tell a friend. And we'll see you in the show.
They take your money, then they take you down with them. Let's do better together. ERN, extremely resilient, naturally.
Yo, what's up, Beebs? How are you doing today?
Doing good. Hanging in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I woke up extra early so I could produce value.
I like that, dude. You know your role in the system. Value producer. The surf to capitalism, am I right? Dude, let me see that shirt. You got a little guy on there. You got something going on, the graphic.
It's a Magic the Gathering shirt that one of my co-founder's girlfriends sent me for Christmas, except we didn't know it was for Christmas. So we opened it immediately.
Yeah, fair enough. Is it, what card is it?
I have no idea.
Oh,
it looks cool. Like a good one though. It
looks badass.
Magic the Gathering or whatever.
All right. Yeah. So, I mean, welcome to everybody in the show. Look, dude, the clickbait works. 16 people already.
Dude.
Off, man. All right. I'll save how to 100 extra life to the end. Look, you guys got to stick around. That's how you're supposed to structure the show. What you guys really want, I gotta make you wait for it. You got to work for it.
Yeah.
But let's start off by kind of just doing a little temperature check here on Crypto Bubbles. My favorite website in the whole world, right behind Ethos V2 and spiritswap.org. I got a question for you. What is T-Fuel?
I have no clue.
Okay. And what is Track? These are, I'm assuming, small cap coins that have exploded.
Theta Fuel. I guess Theta's gas token.
Okay.
Cool.
Origin Trail, and this is an Oregon Trail type game on the blockchain.
Wow.
Yeah. This is looking good. Guys, I think we're kind of back. Look, I'll admit it. I think we're back. We're a little back. No one's ever heard of just being on the screen. Borg, I like the sound of. This is actually
everybody,
probably really important.
Everybody in crypto is getting way too on risk right now, which, you know, it's generally a decent sign, because if we, the most pessimistic, jaded assholes in the world, are bullish crypto again, then, you know, retail, I'm sure, isn't too far behind.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, how it works, right, is we create this fervor and then the light draws in the moths and then they're burned into a crisp and make the point bigger, right? That's kind of like how it works.
Yeah, in the bear market, it's just everybody passing the same $20 around ad infinitum. And now we've sized up, we're passing the same $100 around, except like 100 times faster. So, you know, things are getting good, that's for sure.
Things are getting good. And you know who things are getting really good for? Terra Classic, dude. What the hell is this, dude?
It's back and baby. Better than ever. Proving that bag holders have more like spirit of will, more courage than even the U.S. Marines. I don't know if that joke will fly.
But, Link Marines, greater than sign, U.S. Marines. That's what I'm getting. You know what I mean?
Whoa.
In terms of
madness.
In terms of madness. Yes, that's right. In terms of the commitment to the cause.
Terra pumping is mind-boggling to me. But there are so many very wealthy people that are down so bad, you know, that didn't have the time, weren't tuned in enough to capitulate, and were just like, you know what? we have the, like, the awareness is the hardest part. And if you think you can flip the narrative and you already have the awareness, then that's how stuff like this happens. So, you know, it is what it is. We'll see. It's like kind of like, you know, taking a defunct fraud ridden company and trying to revive it. But because it's blockchain, like, you can transparently see that it's under new operation and it's not just the same guy in a mustache. So good for the Terra folks. You know, they need some wins. They need about 100 more wins before they're back where they need to be. So keep it pushing, guys.
They're getting there. Look, no hate. I hope they get there. We got someone in the chat telling me Track is a big deal.
We are the crypto people. That's all of the crypto people are saying that. So
the entire community is organized to tell me this. Origin Trail News, a Web3 infrastructure project combining a knowledge graph and blockchain technologies to create a neutral, inclusive ecosystem.
Wow. You know what? That makes sense.
It extends Polkadot's relay chain, or works with Polkadot's relay chain to extend DKG's capability. I'm not too familiar with Polkadot. That's probably why I don't know anything about this.
It's probably awesome.
Yeah.
It's probably just the most awesome thing ever.
Yeah. And I'm going to do the classic crypto Twitter guy thing where I'm just going to be pissed off and shitting on Friday and buying it. You know what I'm saying?
That's also if it goes up, you know it's good. That's my rule of thumb. So,
and if you know me, if you're a longtime Corval familiarity, you've heard of this dragon chain. When am I going to have my day? You know,
never. It's over for you.
My scam token, you know, look at this, dude. I'm like looking like Terra Classic.
Your dragon chain investment will go nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Although, I'm just kidding. Dragon chain 2024, we're reorganizing. We're bringing it back.
Yeah. We have a formation forming here. It's called the death plane, right? And from this, you know,
the slaughter fields.
Yeah. Tomb had a second life. Maybe Luna can do the same. Just need Harry to step up. Yeah. I mean, I feel like that's probably not Harry, but a similar type individual probably did step up, right?
Yeah. You misspelled life, John.
Yeah. LIF3. Did Tomb have a second life?
Tomb, yeah. If you recall, Tomb, the original like Russian team, they created a Uniswap router and relied on that Uniswap router on the front end, and then for like taxing purposes, and then people realized you can just spin up your own router, and they didn't change the core contracts. And then they bypassed the tax, and for some reason that was enough to get everybody to sell because, you know, people didn't really understand what was happening. And then Depegged got justed, and then Harry Yeh stepped in and bought them out, basically bought all their T shares, you know, started picking up Tomb, repegged it, and turned it into a multi-billion dollar enterprise. Tomb is, you know, we need a third life out of Tomb, I think, at this point. But
that's what life is. LIF3.
That is what life is. Yeah, there's a long history of projects just being revived after total destruction. Mm-hmm. And ETH Classic, you know, BCH, projects like that, they're some of the best performing assets, you know. So who knows? You know, we're just
for real. It's a very interesting space because, you know, I like to kind of poo-poo sometimes on guys that are like, just hold, man. Just hold. But it is unfortunate because sometimes it does seem to work, dude. Sometimes a project just gets a second win out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this wasn't really out of nowhere, but this is kind of also an example of this, actually, just occurred to me because this was big news yesterday for me because everyone's beating me up about IOTA and Shimmer. But IOTA caught a pretty nice bid here, because they partnered with the UAE and they pivoting to RWAs. Pretty nice out there. But this is another example. I think the IOTA Foundation was kind of running out of goodwill with a lot of people and a lot of negative perception. So finally, like a big move. Sometimes that's all it really takes. Kind of shake the rust off, you know?
They really zeroed in on compliance, which is very tough because one, it's purely in the background. Two, it's a very slow value prop, like building up a regulatory moat. But when it pays off big. So the UAE, like people always like, especially Americans, they're always like, oh, dude, Tether's a scam. Look, it's going up, bah, 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 you know, crying about Tether because, you know, they think it's all fugazi. But the reality is it's just Saudi money. You know, it's just UAE money. They use Tether that there. Tether is, yeah, like you can use Tether at a coffee shop there. It's like, you know, very normal. And that's, you know, where we see a lot of this Tether growth coming from. They're super crypto friendly. So, you know, getting that kind of recognition and buy-in, I think, is super powerful. So good for them. I know they hustle and I know it ain't easy, but yeah, paying off. Look, big.
It's reignited my passions. You know, no, it really does make me feel good. I do really think, I agree with you. Maybe as a whole, we're maybe a little too risk on, but maybe, you know what else, Beavis? Maybe we're just a little traumatized, dude.
We are.
Maybe we're achieving market equilibrium, right? Like the shocks of interest rate raises, shocks of COVID, all this stuff. Maybe we're starting to, we're not so punch drunk anymore. So things are kind of returning to a level of stability. And some level of stability in the crypto market is massive volatility.
Yeah, there's always, if this, the guy Degen Spartan, which I'm sure a lot of you know of, he has this tweet that always cracks me up. That's like, you know, you guys log in here every day to talk about these fucking coins and none of you hold any exposure. yeah. And he says it a lot funnier, obviously, but it is like the trauma of being in industry and having the acuity and the knowledge to outperform, but the fear that kind of keeps you from executing on deals, or the fear that keeps you from kind of pursuing what your gut says, just because your gut has said it before and, you know, we've all been burnt. But, you know, really, I think, you know, talking about the value of diversification, you know, there was the big, like, you know, SBF perpetuated meme where, oh, you got to bet big, just have one bag, you know, and people did that and lost everything. But, you know, just diversify, you know, if you've got three, and I'm not saying you need to have like build a portfolio like a hedge fund as a guy with, you know, $1,000. But
it's like, you know, diversify as in like put some into a regular savings account, put some under your bed, put some in gold.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Maybe like invest in a house, you know, maybe like, you know, if that's out of the cards, you know, think about, buying into something a little more safe, less degen. You know, I think there's you need to find balance. You know, let's all find balance.
Life is about harmony, except it's not. It's about 100xing it, and that's what we're going to show you a little bit later today in the show.
A little bit later, we're going to show you how to safely take your assets to the moon, and we're going to do it without
your assets to the moon. No.
Any financial
advice. 100xing your life.
I'm sorry. 100x in your life.
You're trying to get me killed and by the YouTube mafia, get me thrown off.
I'm sorry.
Find me washed up on a beach in Papua New Guinea.
We're going to safely take your life to the moon.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
Yes, with the proper equipment so you don't suffocate.
For sure. So a couple of comments I want to address here. Adelhelm, my boy Adelhelm is back.
Nice.
Welcome back.
At the helm.
Yeah, but you know, that's my pet name for him, is Adelhelm. And then we got, look, JW really wants a Oath chapter on Shimmer EVM, but I do believe that is outside your control, Beavis. JW, you got to submit the proposal to do
Make that proposal, Mr. JW. Make that proposal.
I believe
addressable market. Let's see that addressable market go upwards is my first thought. But hit up governance and begin the conversation. That's all you can do. Yeah. Forum.oath.eco, folks. Get involved.
If you don't do JW, I might jump in front of you, bro. Anyway, another one. Thoughts on the Velodrome front end hack. So I don't know a bunch about this, Beavis, but from my understanding, front end hacks are kind of like, I don't know. They're not like the most like crypto thing. Like, it's not like a smart contract problem. It's like it's like common. It's a very common thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, these attack vectors, it's like SIM swapping, you know? It's like setting up protections is kind of unintuitive, you know? And what might have happened and possibly what probably happened was, you know, someone called up the customer service at one of these DNS hosts, you know, whether it be Namecheap or Gandhi or GoDaddy, whoever, someone called them up. They social engineered them into, you know, giving them admin access to the front end somehow. And from there, you know, it's history. And there are a bunch of ways that can happen, but it all kind of carries the same sort of skew. It's like a very motivated social engineer is able to figure out how to work the system of these huge kind of domain agencies and, you know, get access they shouldn't have. And whether it be the domain, whether it be Cloudflare, whether it be whatever, it's really scary. And like, you know, I would go into detail about how we protect against this, but honestly, I'm scared that, you know, people are gonna, you know, try to poke holes in it. But like, we have a very schizo approach, and it's still scary for us. And props to the Velodrome team. They have a decentralized front end. There were ways to access the platform without using the domain, but really sucks as well because it was epoch flip. So probably a lot of people got burnt. Mm-hmm. I hope not, but yeah, very painful.
So a key component of a front end exploit, right, is that the underlying funds are not really at risk. It's people interacting with it, right?
The transaction building is, so the front end, all the front end is doing is creating transactions for you and sending them to MetaMask for approval and then firing them off onto the blockchain.
The main risk is that, you know, I could think I'm maybe depositing and instead I'm withdrawing all my funds to this guy's wallet because it just changed the transaction, right?
Generally, they change the transactions to ones that ask for an open approval so that they can essentially withdraw money from your wallet. And it like
these hackers, man.
It's called draining, you know, and not and unfortunately they're, you know, shout out to Drain Gang. I don't know if that's still a thing, but they're really kind of giving them a bad name. Drainers now has among Zoomers a negative connotation.
Oh, does it? Oh, because of the crypto stuff. Sorry.
Well, I don't know. At least to the security community. And it's becoming so common, like hundreds of millions of dollars have been drained using whether they be front end attacks or fake front ends advertised on Twitter with like check marks or whatever, or people like social engineering you into clicking on a link or going to Discord or, you know, there are 1,000 ways. All you need to do is serve someone a MetaMask transaction and trick them into clicking sign. So maybe
that might be a way to 100 extra life right there. Not a very nice one.
Yeah.
You gotta start people illicit transactions. I don't recommend that. And I will punish you if I find out you did.
Yeah. Don't do anything illegal. That's my advice.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty good advice. Beavis, where's the best place to buy Oath?
The best place to buy Oath is on Optimism, Uniswap, Velodrome, Beethoven. I personally use matcha.xyz. Hit up the Discord. Look at the contract addresses. No, I just think it's a good site.
Nice. Okay. Sorry, I cut you off when you were saying something important. Check out the Discord for the contract addresses, right?
Yep. Just make sure you're not getting scammed. And
That's a fantastic transition. Yeah.
Yeah. Getting scammed really sucks.
Yeah. It's really scary. I've known some, and it doesn't just happen to dolts is what I want to make clear. You really do have to be very, you gotta be on your P's and Q's. You gotta be careful because some of the smartest guys I know in crypto have lost a lot of money to bullshit transaction approvals.
Security engineers. It's like, it's really common because if you're like, especially if you aren't a security engineer, if you're a really smart guy and you aren't familiar with all the ins and outs of the social engineering kind of industry on crypto, it's really easy to just like buy into these things. It's like, how hypnotists are like, hey, if you get hypnotized, it just means you have good concentration, you know, you have high level cognitive functioning. It's the same thing. Like if you're getting social engineered, oftentimes it's because you're really empathetic. You know, you're really entrepreneurial. You know, you're looking for opportunity. Like there are all sorts of ways these social engineers can kind of trick you into, you know, signing a transaction. And a lot of it is playing on your emotions. A lot of it is, you know, doing things that you maybe wouldn't expect. And I'll tell you how I operate is I won't even click on a link unless a person has gone through a thorough vetting process. Like unless I've been in a meeting with you, seen your face, I'm not gonna click on anything you send me. I'm not gonna look at, I'm not even gonna play a video. Like it's like I'm not gonna join a Discord. I'm not gonna join a Telegram. Like whenever people reach out to me, and this is so frequent and it's so common in social engineering, people will reach out to me asking for work. They're like, hey, do you need Web3 engineers? And you know, one of the things we do is, you know, we, you know, develop talent so that we can match them with clients and whatnot. And, you know, so we're always looking for talent, but so many of the people messaging about, hey, I'm a Web3 engineer, blah, blah, blah. And you'll see this in Discord all the time. You know, it's like, dude, I want to click on your resume. I want to look at this PDF. I want to engage with you. But all I do now is I send them over to Bcamp, bcamp.dev. And it's like, dude, if you can get through this boot camp, you can show your face. You can, you know, do what it takes to not be like foiled over 6 weeks. I'll look at your resume and I'll look at it after someone that I know sends it to me.
That's right.
It's a free bootcamp, by the way. And I'm going to take this time to shill real quick. Bcamp.dev Moon, our infrastructure project, is sponsoring a free 6-week bootcamp where you can be mentored by our team members. I'll go ahead and post the LinkedIn. It's on, this is, you know, for developers. So it's on LinkedIn. You know, don't troll me. But really, really great way to start a Web3 career. Yeah, very, very dope. But yeah, hit that up and hit me up if you want the Discord, in Discord or what have you. Sorry for the shill, the non sequitur.
Hey, no worries, no worries. So I'm gonna start starring these comments in, or the questions that I kind of want to return to, unless it's like extremely pressing and on that exact thing, and maybe we can try to come back to them at the end of the show.
Sure.
So that's more for the audience, Beepus. Don't worry, you can ask me a question. It's okay.
Okay.
What was my next? Oh, KyberSwap. Speaking of hacks, right? We kind of drifted a little bit from hacks, but I do want to cover this because it's kind of crazy, dude. Yeah. So this KyberSwap hack, I know it's extremely kind of complicated what he did here, but the thing that caught my eye was the ransom letter.
Dude, one of the most unhinged things I've ever seen in my entire life, bar none.
Okay, here we go. I can make it bigger. To all relevant and interested parties, I thank you for your attention and patience during this uncertain time for Kyber, as well as Kyber, the company. But hello, I have delineated a treaty for us to agree to. My demands are as follows. Complete executive control over Kyber. Temporary full authority and ownership over the governance mechanism, Kyber DAO, in order to enact legislative changes. My current wallet address is fine for this. All documents and information related to company protocol information or formation, structure, operation, revenues, profits, expenses, assets, liabilities, investors, salaries, etc. Surrender of all Kyber assets. This is both on-chain and off-chain assets. It includes, but is not limited to, shares, equity, tokens, KNC and non-KNC, partnerships, blogs, websites, servers, passwords, code, social channels, any and all creative and intellectual property of Kyber. So this guy... he did a little hack. He did a little hacky, a little crazy, crazy hack, right? And now he's saying, this is my ship now, dude. This is like, you know.
I'm the captain now.
Yeah, you robbed Fort Knox, and then you're holding all the gold hostage, and you're saying, you're going to make me the emperor of America.
Dude, so like beyond psycho, absolutely beyond psycho. He sent another message, I believe, as well.
Is this not sweet enough? I'll go further still. Under my management, Kyber will undergo a complete makeover. It will no longer be the 7th most popular DEX, but rather an entirely new cryptographic project.
Dude.
I need to be making like light of this, but it is kind of like funny in that this is so absurd.
It's absolutely unhinged. It's like, you know, I mean, the guy obviously has schizophrenia, you know, lot of security engineers do, frankly. Very tough to see. I'm imagining being in like the seat of the Kyber team. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, you know, you're hopeful, like this guy's like, hey, we'll begin negotiations when I'm well rested. You're like, oh, yes, you know, breathe a sigh of relief. We're going to be able to, you know, get a portion of the funds back. And then seeing this, it's like totally devastating because, I mean, like, what do you do? Here's some other negotiation. Ready?
This guy.
Executives, you will be bought out of the company at a fair valuation. You will be wished well in your future endeavors. You haven't done anything wrong. A small error was made, rounding in the wrong direction. It could have been made by anyone. Simply bad luck. Employees, under the new regime, your salary will be doubled. It is understandable that many current employees will want to leave regardless. The employees who don't want to stay will be given a 12-month severance with full benefits and assistance in finding a new career. No questions asked. LPs, you will be gifted a rebate on your recent market-making activity. The rebate will be for 50% of the losses you have incurred. I know this is probably less than what you wanted. However, it is also more than you deserve.
It's so,
can you believe bonky. Reading that? Like, that imagine like, being affected by this and going through that.
Devastating. Insane. Completely devastating.
You're muted, by the way, Corbin.
Oh. What? How did that happen? Huh? You can hear me. I'm not muted. Am I?
I don't hear you at all.
Is your mic messed up? Am I muted? Chat, let me know.
Can
if
you
I'm
hear
muted.
Him, audience? Or is this a me problem?
Because my mic shows it. I'm not muted.
I'm the problem. Oh my gosh!
Fix your headphones. I was freaking out there. All my stuff's saying I'm loud and clear. Well, but I wanted to say, yeah, this is like megalomania, right? Like this is like completely nutso. My sympathies to people affected by this because I don't know how you kind of like deal with a guy like this. But yeah, I think the offer for like the doubling salaries, 12-month severance, like all this stuff, it's like kind of hard to trust a guy who like just did this, right? Like why would I trust this joker? I don't know if you can hear me now either, but no, I don't think he can. That's right, JW. I'm loud, just like my sweatshirt. But yeah, so more on this hack. I thought it was pretty fascinating. It's called an infinite money glitch, which for a long time has been what we called, we would use that phrase as a joke, like, oh, we found the infinite money glitch, But apparently that's what he did, and it was a double counting bug in Liquidity, allowing him to get an unfair price for swaps. So he kind of just doubled his money, like, you know, bought for half price, sold for double over and over and over and over and over again. Completely devastating. Beavis has no audio. This is the drama and stress you only get from a live stream, folks.
You guys can hear me?
Yeah, we can definitely hear you, dude.
Whoa.
I don't know why I'm saying that. You can hear it.
All right. One sec. I need to figure out my headphone situation here.
Yeah, I really want to pick Beavis's brain about this. But, you know, guys, let's talk about something else while we're waiting for Beavis to come back.
Wow.
Time for me to talk dirty about him. I mean, I can do that right in front of him, baby. I ain't got no shame. I ain't afraid. No, I want to talk a little bit about, this is only like not really related to crypto, but I mean, I feel like most of us are probably on X.com. You guys have seen this, I'm sure.
What do you mean?
World famous rich guy, famous guy.
If somebody money man. Blackmail me with advertising? Blackmail me with money? Go fuck yourself. But go fuck yourself. Is that clear?
Crazy, right?
I hope it is. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, so, you know, he's saying bye to Bob Iger. So all these big companies have left, are pulling ads from X. And It's pretty cool, I think. I think it's pretty baller to say that. I don't know how effective this type of strategy will be for Elon, but I get the feeling sometimes that people in crypto want us to do this. You know, they want us to be like, fuck ads, fuck advertisers. You're not holding me hostage. Yeah, Elon gives zero faxes, dude. Oh, man, because we lost him again. But yeah, I think this is kind of big for X because like all of its revenue is generated through advertising, I believe. So I don't know how this is going to play out for the guy. Yeah, Drensom, don't worry. We're going to get to it, dude. We'll tell you how to 100X your life pretty soon. But big news, even the Colbert Show has stopped posting on Twitter, which, I mean, I'm sure you all are going to miss dearly. I know I will. I know I'll miss I don't give a shit at all. What else do I got here? I have the same tab open four times, apparently. Damn, I really need Biebs back here, dude. I can't just vamp for God knows how long. Let's see. We got any good comments here? Let's see. What do we got to talk about? My scam attempt, Biebs, give me seed phrase of your best wallet. Philip, you got to work on that. Interesting anecdote here, actually. You can launch a meme coin to cover the advertising losses. You sure can. I think the Go Fuck Yourself token launched recently. We can actually look at that, which launched like right after this, I believe. Oh, let's pull it up. I'm getting messages here. Hold on. Beavis is restarting his computer. All right. This is an interesting development too, actually, is that because he's telling all these advertisers to fuck off, the advertisers that are on X, I'm sure you guys have seen this, all the fake X tokens, SpaceX token, Elon Musk token, Dodge Elon token, the buying ads on Twitter. These are going to start flooding us like never before. And Stephen Vinyl, if he does need to make rent, he can just pump and dump Doge as always. Good point. But yeah, I'm trying to find the Emmett and I were talking about this before the show, the Go Fuck Yourself token. It had a $1 million market cap yesterday, and overnight it went up to 9 million. So the meme economy is still going strong. I think it's a strong bullish signal, to be honest, in that you can move that much capital that quickly off of something so trite and stupid. I think we're in for some good times ahead, fellas, even if interest rates stay at 6% or whatever the hell they are. Let's see. Let's see if we can find this Go Fuck Yourself token, dude. I don't think it's real. I think I might have got trolled, dude. 12 hours ago on Live Coin Watch. Oh, wait, maybe this is it. Yep, this is it right here. Small shit coin, right? 24 hours. We went from under 20 million market cap, like an under 10 million market cap. Now it's over 100 million. That's insane, dude. This is manipulated to fuck. This is manipulated to hell, but it's crazy. That price appreciation is nuts. So I wouldn't go in on this. It's over, dude. All right. Where's Mikey been? Mikey's out there getting that money, player. He's out there. He got a job because we lost the Shimmer partnership, so we couldn't really continue to pay staff. That's really the sad truth. But maybe one day we can bring Mikey back because we do want to do some trivia shows. We might bring him back every once in a while because it's really fun hanging out with Mikey. I know he loves you guys. I know he loves coming on the show. Tell us about this update on the Shimmer partnership, especially after the announcement yesterday. Yeah, so Shimmer, we don't have the same partnership that we did before with Shimmer, so we're not engaging in as much content production for them, but we will continue to talk about Shimmer because we do like it. That update yesterday was a huge wind under our wings, you know what I mean, in terms of price appreciation, because it had been kind of bad even when everything else was kind of pumping across the board. Hanging around like four cents. I know I personally had an entry at 6 cents, one of them. And so I'm still like not feeling great, but I'm feeling better. I think Shimmer is still Shimmer and IOTA, I think, still are in their nascent stages, which is like very weird because they, at least IOTA has been around for so long, but they still have a lot of work that needs to be done on fundamental infrastructure for it to have any kind of real success. Outside of things like, you know, you see like a chain launch like Sui or something, right? And it has success like right out the gate. And I think the reason, yeah, I hate money. It's true. I hate money, but I love millions. But no, the difference is like with Sui, you see these like massive price appreciations right up front. That's the VC backing, right? You have a massive marketing movement right at the gate, right? And they have everything kind of just ready to go because they can just buy it, market buy it. IOTA and Shimmer are kind of building everything from the ground up. So it's a little bit more, hey, you backing this? So it's going to take a little bit longer, but I think that just means it gives you a little bit more of a window to be early. Not advice, not investment advice. Don't go buying it just because I told you that. Go check it out. All right. Anyway, Beavis, welcome back, dude. I've been vamping, dude.
Howdy. Sorry.
It's all good, man. I'm glad you figured it out.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to, I closed it. So we were talking a little bit about almost everything. We're talking about the Go Fuck Yourself token, talking about Elon Musk kicking advertisers off his platform. We're thinking about whether or not, Bob Mangle, I think that's kind of, I'm kind of with you, dude, because it does cause a little bit of like, what do you call that? There's like tension between the two. Like there's somehow competition between IOTA and Shimmer. But anyway, let's get back on topic here. Let me walk it all the way back. We talked about Go Fuck Yourself token. We talked about Elon Musk, but I want to finish up on this Kyberswap app because I think it's kind of crazy. They have the infinite money glitch. Are you familiar with how he accomplished this, Beebs?
He basically, does my audio sound okay on your end?
Yeah, it sounds, I mean, I can hear you. That's what's important.
Okay. It sounds weird on my end, but there's all sorts of,
it does sound like
a
little quieter, but I can hear you.
It sounds like kind of haunting. Here, ready?
You do kind of sound a bit like a specter or a ghost.
Yeah.
A phantom of some sort.
Let me try this.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's louder. That's more full audio. Haunting.
How about
speaking
now?
Speaking of which,
kind of haunting?
No, that seems like more normal.
Okay. Well, we'll try this. I'm a little haunted, but that's okay. I think it's just feeding my audio back to me. I need to figure this out, but
that might be it.
Yeah, it is. It is what it is. Nonetheless, the Kyber exploit. So basically, due to a one way, so a 0.000000000000000001. Units.
I speak in binary to me. What do you
discrepancy? the attacker was able to basically get a bid on a pool that he shouldn't have been able to bid on, with essentially being able to buy stuff for like dirt cheap. And this understanding may be incomplete. I haven't read the postmortem or dug in super deep, but essentially they rounded up instead of rounding down. And there is like kind of a universal rule that rounding down is a lot safer in Solidity, because you're always going to have precision errors. You're always going to have issues wherein something is, you know, one e to the negative 18th off, you know? Yeah, the breaking that rule in history has had many, 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 many huge catastrophic consequences. And the tough thing is those errors are really hard to find, because your test might be great, your audit might be great, all your logic might be sound, but you know, the issue is there is a going to be a very tiny edge case, possibly infinitesimal, wherein you can be exploited. And that's what we saw happen here. This is how a lot of historical Oracle exploits have happened. This is how a lot of curve-related exploits have happened. And really, you just got to round down, homies. It's Like, I mean, it depends on the context, of course.
100 extra development, round down in Solidity.
You round in whatever way is safest, being whatever way is like not favorable to the user. Otherwise, you know, you can get boinked, which is depressing. And right, because we round, yeah.
I gotta put that up there. My wife rounded down a few years ago and she said, yes, that's a good one. Welcome back, Adam Helm. You're back, dude. that's really unfortunate. Because it seems like such an arcane, what do you call that? Obscure flaw to have, vulnerability to have.
They're hard to catch. It's the hardest type of vulnerability to catch. And, you know, really how you catch it is fuzzing, mm-hmm. Stateful fuzzing, which is like when you test instead of just putting in an input and expecting an output. What you do is you, for every test, input everything that could possibly be input, and you test against every possible output. And then if there's a single output, given all of the inputs, that is incorrect, then the test will fail. And right now there's like a really big migration in Solidity development, because historically, fuzzing has been very hard. We've relied on a tool called Echidna, which was very hard to set up. Like, you'd have principal engineers have to take days to set up their environment to use Echidna. It really did not fit well within, a sensible development cycle. So we would rely a lot on external auditors to do our fuzzing. But with the dawn of Foundry, which mm-hmm. is Paradigm's kind of development framework, a lot of teams have been moving away from hard hat for testing, relying on it more for deployments, and toward Foundry, because Foundry has built-in fuzzing, and you write your tests in Solidity as well. So if you have like a Solidity native engineer, the whole stack is in Solidity. And, you know, there are pros and cons, of course, to testing in Solidity and doing all these things, but making fuzzing really accessible and invariant testing, I think, was the greatest thing there. So I would say, you know, a way to stop this is, or a way to avoid exploits like this, is look for fuzzing tests in repositories. And that will kind of help you along a little. Not necessarily saying it's a catch-all, not necessarily mm-hmm. saying it'll fix your problems, but it is kind of what catches these really, really minute edge cases, being like the, you know, one in 1E18 chance, or one in whatever expected range of inputs chance. Because if it's there, it'll eventually get found. And mm-hmm. that's kind of the golden law of security engineering.
So what about users? From the user perspective, you're kind of just, it's still a crapshoot, right? Like, there's no way. I mean, it's so difficult for a developer to catch something like this. A user, you're just...
Yeah, no, it's this is the risk that you kind of take. And, mm-hmm. you know, when software is complex, mm-hmm. this is what happens. And really all you can do is build defensively as an engineer. And, you know, rounding down, for example, in this case, would have been building defensively, being, you know, some people can make the argument like, oh, we don't want to short our users, which is like a totally backwards way of thinking. It's like one way, like, you know, you're thinking in the wrong mindset. And also rounding down may break some interfaces, which is another challenge. So you might be thinking, okay, you know, if this interface accepts or only accepts a perfectly exact expected outcome, and through all of our operations, we have one way of imprecision, it might break that interface, which is kind of another issue, another question altogether. It's just challenging. And this is a very challenging space to build in. And learning how to program defensively is really all, I mean, it's not all you can do, but it's one of the most important things you can do.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, so we're some good advice there, I think, for developers that may be watching, could save you $46 million in the future. And yeah. Well, I guess the total value of the hack is significantly more because he's holding the entire
company hostage.
Yeah. Hopefully the Navy SEALs find this guy. You know what I mean? Hopefully we send the FBI in.
Yeah. Secret Service has a notoriously strong cybersecurity department. A lot of teams work with the Secret Service, believe it or not, as wacky as that sounds. Yeah.
I thought they were just to protect the president.
They protect a lot of stuff. They're a national security organization. When it comes to cybercrime, it's like you take whoever you can get, really, because the FBI cybercrime department is probably so damn busy that, you know, you talk to them, your case handler is going to be like a Luddite or something. You know? Mm-hmm. The cybersecurity industry is like, there's a reason that it's a high paying industry and there's a reason that it's so hungry for talent. It's because there's not enough. And, you know, all of the cybercrime that's constantly happening, there's not enough knowledge, not enough know-how, not enough people on the problem. To get there, which is why, you know, we're psyoping smart Zoomers in schools to get into cybersecurity because it's totally necessary. And that's where a lot of crime is moving. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say this is a good question, but I remember that I said I was going to save it for the end of the show. I think that's a long way. We're planting seeds right now in terms of, like you're saying, like psyoping kids into becoming security researchers.
Yeah.
I've got a question for Philip, actually. John Steps points out that the Secret Service, this protects the currency too.
That's gangster.
Is there anything like that for the euro? Huh? Any French guys out there with baguettes? Cyber criminals? I don't think so. Joking aside.
Sorry, Philip.
We love the euro. You know I love the euro. You know I've got my coins. Actually, I've got a couple. What do they even call? I think they just call them euros. I was going to call them pounds.
I've never owned a euro.
Feels good, dude. I'm sorry. It feels good. It's weighty.
Really?
Holding your palm. Yeah, you hold like $20 in your palm. It has like weight and it feels like, you know, you hold like, even holding a lot of cash in your hand, it's cool because it's like, you know, it's cash, but like the material feel of it isn't as good as holding a bunch of like metal in your hand and being like, yeah. I could kill someone with $100.
There's a lot of powerful history in Europe. I mean, I guess the euro is kind of a modern invention. But,
yeah.
Euro
is a modern globalist fabrication.
Disgusting.
I'm only half kidding. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about this while we're on. We're kind of running out of time. I feel like this might go for a while, but I do want to touch on it briefly. And maybe we could also talk about the value of alt chains. Maybe they tie together here. Smart contract upgradability should be enshrined in the EVM. Putting immutable code on a mutable machine is bozo behavior, and proxies are a poorly implemented hack. So either we halt EVM changes or we make contracts upgradable, and I don't see the former happening anytime soon. Beavis, thoughts and feelings on this? Also, let's make it like a little more simplified. Basically, you should be able to upgrade to smart contracts natively in the EVM.
Yeah.
Because right now people just like put proxy contracts as the upgrade vector. And
I totally agree. I mean, the problem there, of course, is it's easier to rug. Upgradability, like basically if upgradability was an inherent feature, you would need in order for a project like PayPay, for example, to succeed, they would need to be able to turn it off. They would need to be able to say, we're not allowed to do this. Proxies allow for that because you can just throw away the key or not have a proxy to begin with and just have this immutable unit. You don't need to trust the team. You can just freaking safely go to the moon together. Just kidding. But, I think upgradability, if you're a serious engineering team and you really want to create a good product that can penetrate the TradFi market, then upgradability is a necessity. It's safer. In the right hands, of course. And it's done nothing. Like as a team that utilizes upgradability relatively heavily, all it's done is serve our users and be an amazing feature of our software suite. That's all it has ever been. And we've experimented with immutability. Like reliquary is immutable. It's designed to be immutable. It works fine. But once you increase the complexity of a system, you absolutely need upgradability. And immutability just, it does not work in practice. It stifles business operations. It stifles security operations. It stifles mm-hmm. engineering operations. It makes growing extremely difficult. It makes addressing new markets extremely difficult. It makes UX really bad long term. And
isn't this kind of contrary to, I guess, some fundamental crypto ethos, though? Isn't that one of the strongest selling points for smart contracts originally is their immutable nature? Code is law, baby. You know, you can't change it. But then again, I've always kind of thought that does kind of gloss over the fact that laws can and do often change regularly.
Yeah. Because like things designed in a vacuum or in an ivory tower rarely apply one-to-one in real life. You might think, oh, this is the perfect trade-off solution. And then you realize, humans, operate differently than they do in our vacuum.
I challenge anyone to find any law code of law or rules that is truly immutable. I think the first that comes to mind is the Ten Commandments. Like that's like the only one. Like the Constitution has upgradability built into it, if you think about it that way, with the amendment process, right?
I mean, there are cases where you're allowed to kill people, you know? It's like Ethereum, there's a really big among some camps, like holier than thou mentality, like, you know, we're the going to code.
Like, yeah, and types that like think like the, you know.
Exactly. Like, let me worship the math and the code, and let me forget that human beings are emotional creatures first and foremost. And let's get emotional about the math and the code. It's like, you know, bruh, you know, monkeys do this. You know, now AI does this. You know, it's like it's not. The craziest, and it is beautiful. I think the consensus mechanism is beautiful. And I guess Tizzy80's point here, he's kind of talking about what I talked about earlier, like you need to be able to turn it off. Like you need to be able to have something that's immutable, because that is a really great value proposition. It's an awesome value proposition. It's just, there are things that should be immutable. There are things that could maybe be immutable, and there are things that shouldn't be immutable. And proxies allow us to have the full spectrum. I'm not a proxy hater. I think proxies are awesome. It's like, if you want to enshrine it in the EVM, I would say that's too big a risk to take when proxies are doing the job just fine. There are proxy managers. Proxies fit really well into the DevEx. And proxies also give you an opportunity to kind of build in time locks, build in all sorts of other features that ensure your users in the advent of an upgrade have time to decide if they want to, enter the contract. And I think that's what's cool about blockchain, and maybe what's bad about proxies is, you know, with upgradability, someone signs on the dotted line when they read your smart contract, when they read your system and are like thumbs up, and they expect, a certain outcome, they expect a certain way of operation. And when you upgrade, of course, you invalidate that contract. And there's not really a good UX besides like Discord announcements and Telegram announcements and Twitter and whatever to tell people, hey, this contract is going to change a little bit. You should reassess. But we find in reality, so that's the reality in a vacuum. In reality, most users don't give a single shit. They don't care even the slightest bit. And the people like actually TOS. Reading the contract. Yeah, exactly.
Just like TOS. To Rich Mabee's point, immutability has the potential to remove overhead costs forever, potential of tech that works forever with minimal overhead.
Impossible in practice.
Yeah, I agree. But that is like the philosophical.
Yeah, purely, ideal. Purely philosophical. And I would go so far to say that that idea has been disproven so thoroughly that it's not even worth having the conversation anymore.
Isn't that what the Hex crowd claims, though? Their codes are immutable, flawless operation. I don't even want to get into all the things the Hex crowd claims. But yeah, I mean, the Hex crowd claims that Richard Hart has done more good for humanity than like Jesus Christ or something. Level messiah.
That is a system, a simple staking system like Reliquary. That's a great candidate for immutability because it's easy. It's simple. It doesn't have a lot of nuance. It's like, we are going to give you this for this. But when you get into more complex value transfers or risk transfers, it's just totally like the idea of immutability. Just it's not a software attribute you care that much about, because the more complex the deal, the more off-chain stuff is happening. You know, the more complex the deal, the more complex the contract, the more monitoring, you know, the more management off-chain. And depending on an algorithm, you know, this is how we see these huge exploits, because people try to program logic on chain into the algorithm that doesn't necessarily belong on chain. And it adds tons of complexity. It's like, you know, let me create a complex system of keepers. Let me introduce all these attack vectors just so I don't have to have a cron job on AWS, which is like an extremely, you know, battle-tested method of applying DevOps. But I think there is a place for immutability. There is a place for mutability. And increasingly, if we want to see DeFi take over TradFi, if we want to see Web3 actually be able to compete with Web2, and if we want to onboard users, then you've got to accept that a lot of stuff is going to be upgradable. And the immutable value prop is good for very small pieces of the puzzle. But as you increase in size, all it does is increase risk and reduce the ability to adapt to the market. And to a dangerous extent.
I agree with you, buddy. And you know what? This kind of leads into beautifully, if I may, I can kind of finagle this, I think, into one of the final topics I had for us. Promise one more, and then we're going to 100x you, baby. The trend toward, there's an Oath Foundation post talking about how to onboard more users, right? How is crypto going to onboard more users, right? And the whole entire system is going to need to become more accessible, quicker, more intuitive, and also like more, I guess, hidden. I guess I don't know if that makes sense, but like you don't want to see like the wires poking out of the wall. You don't want to be walking over a bridge that isn't like, that's like slats, right? You want to have it like be.
Imagine a bridge where you couldn't do any maintenance, and that's how you get like Cleveland. Just kidding.
So no, but for real though, I think that is a good point though. So, and you're talking about the difficulty with upgradability is that there isn't a good UI for communicating that. So, I mean, TOS, we know no one actually reads them really. I mean, lawyers read them because. Lawyers, interesting, I think, read TOS the same way that hackers read smart contracts, and they're looking for a good way to make a quick buck because they can be like, oh, this shit's so fucking dirty. I can sue them for this.
Yeah.
But the difference is the TOS, at least, every I mean, we've all experienced, it's kind of annoying. Every time the TOS gets updated, you have to re-approve it, right?
Yeah.
Now, we need a kind of a UI for that. And I think that'll probably come through account abstraction, right? Where it's communicated to you in more plain language, like what's happened. Like
patch notes in a modal when you log
on. Exactly.
We have that for Ethos V2. We've moved launch till Monday. Sorry, gang. Just so that we can get all the math right on the front end. But
someone did ask that. Ethos V2 launching on Monday, quote unquote.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. Don't quote me on that. I've said we're launching like tomorrow, maybe five times now. But it's always something else. Damn it. I've been whipping the devs so hard too. They've got, they're almost
when I first started getting interested in development stuff, one of my friends told me that, like, he was like, every time you think, if someone ever asks you for a deadline, just like multiply it, like whatever, how long you think it's going to take, you just multiply it by two.
Yeah. We've already done our multiplication. But now it's like we're pretty good. We're in the 2 to 3 week range. But we multiply by between 1.5 and 1.75, depending on who's doing the work.
That's some tight ops. On that note, though, on like kind of simplifying the not just the user experience, but like how well everything works together is, I think, really the biggest thing, right? Like it should be kind of effort in the ideal future. It's like effortless to source like the best lending rate, right, across any chain, and then immediately move to like a DEX to swap with a position, right? Like I can reallocate effortlessly between all of these things. Do you think a continuing trend of like new alt chains popping up is conducive to that? or not, because I think it might slow us down in that aspect, because there is already, I mean, we're having some developments in terms of interchain communication getting more secure and safe, but we haven't really found like an easily implementable solution that would kind of tear these barriers down. And also there's the incentive for a chain to kind of garden wall itself, right? Like,
yeah,
capture liquidity, hold on to it. Yeah. I don't want to compete. I just want to win one round and hold on to it, right?
I mean, I will say, like, it's fine to have infinite L1s. It's fine to have infinite L2s. You know, liquidity fragmentation is not just a problem in DeFi. It's a problem in CeFi. It's a problem in TradFi. You know, I think these problems, we have the technology to solve them. It's just in the battle testing and scaling phase right now. And, you know, it will be better, I think, long term to have more chains, simply because it will keep gas costs lower. It will make sure that execution can happen on like a really bespoke basis, being, you know, if you're a guy with $100, you know, it might be better to route you toward a gas free chain with really thin liquidity, because you're not going to, you know, slip the books too much. If you're a guy with $1 million, it'll probably be good to break it up and route it to all sorts of chains, wherever the deepest liquidity is. If you're a guy with $100 million, you know, you're probably buying from every book there is, every Uniswap fork, every Solidly fork, you know? So I think really, like, the way to subsidize this liquidity and subsidize growth, like, incentives are obvious. And we talked about this in our Twitter post yesterday, Corval. Like, incentives are the obvious one to us. We see people hemorrhaging money to get liquidity. Great. It's a little inefficient. But what people don't see is that the real capital formation, and this is why Uniswap has billions of dollars of liquidity without incentives, the real capital formation happens at the deal-making phase, you know, in the pre-seed, in the seed, in the series A, B, C, D, where you can pen agreements to say, hey, you know, we'll give you some equity in this company. And in exchange, you dump your liquidity in there. And or we just align you to the degree that dumping liquidity in there is a no-brainer, you know, and just live off the fees. Maybe you won't beat the risk-free rate, but the alignment and the growth of the company as a whole will net you that outperformance that people are looking for. So having more chains and having more tokens means more capital formation, better alignment. And sure, they might not align with your bags. You know, if you're a one chain maxi, you know,
I think probably one of the foolish things most foolish things I think you could possibly be. Personally,
it is like you're not moving the needle. You know, the way to move the needle is going everywhere and rotating your capital everywhere and helping facilitate the growth of the industry as a whole, because that's how capital gets formed, incentives get aligned, and we onboard institutions. You know, I would say every chain has a unique value proposition. Mm-hmm. Every chain is going to have a unique ecosystem. And all that it takes is more nuanced aggregation. And I'll tell you, with the dawn of AI and LLMs, that's going to get a lot easier. Like intents, you know, the concept of intents is, can a user express an idea, and can we just go out in this world of blockchains, this internet of blockchains, and execute it for them? And then if you're a chain, like we as a DeFi company, with the dawn of LLMs, with the dawn of these aggregators and abstract experiences, we think in terms of, you know, we're infrastructure. Blockchain companies are infrastructure. Like the people creating the apps that are actually going to get used are the ones kind of at the top end, making the aggregators, making these really abstract experiences, because we can program something that can allocate to 50 different chains without a user having to care. It's just right now, gas costs a lot. The industry is inefficient. The industry is insecure. Infrastructure is still building. We're new, you know, and I would say,
awkward teen.
We're in the early adolescent. We're tweens right now, you know.
Oh my
we're
God.
Just like we just hit puberty. in 2021.
Got your first Avril Lavigne CD, you know?
Yeah, we got our first pube. But I would say the best thing you can do, read Corval's post on the Oath Foundation Twitter account from yesterday. It's all about this topic, and it's super duper important. And getting, like, we as evangelists, like everyone, if you're listening to this, you're an evangelist. You're an early crypto adopter. You are taking the hits so that we can figure out this technology.
You're a soldier, bro.
You're a soldier.
You're a soldier in the crypto army. And you remember where your allegiance lies. So, yeah, I mean, and this leads directly into part of my ways 100x yourself by Christmas. One, drink more water than you think you need to, buddy. You need to drink more water.
Drink water.
Big one. Do push-ups till failure every night before bed. Mm-hmm. That's another one, another way to 100x your life.
Yep.
Three, establish time horizons. Think a little bit longer term, fellas. When you're considering any, this is not investment advice, it's more life advice, but it is applicable to investment specifically in crypto. So when you're thinking about all this stuff, right? What we're discussing right now is long time horizon. It's foolish to be a one chain maxi in a long time horizon. You know, Polkadot is not going to rule the world. Neither is Ethereum. What you're going to see is a much more complex ecosystem evolve over time. So you have to set time horizons for yourself. It's going to save you a lot of pain. You know, that'll save you from round tripping. It'll save you from selling too late. You know,
it'll save you from over investing, which is a big problem a lot of people have. They're like, I need to throw the whole kitchen sink at this investment so that I can, you know, get rich. And it's like, you know, assess your budget, figure out what your monthly costs are, and figure out what you can actually afford to throw in on a long time horizon. Because what we see is people making killer, awesome, not investment advice, by the way, killer, awesome investments in really great companies. And then, oh, suddenly they can't pay their freaking rent. And now they exit. 5-10 years later, the company is, you know, 1,000 times bigger. And they're like, ah, you know, if only. And like, that is bad practice. Like, just, you know, you don't need to throw the kitchen sink at this stuff. You know, you don't need to eat into shit coins for, you know, a 2-week return.
And finally, number one way to 100x your life by Christmas, learn to let go, buddy. Learn to let go. Like, don't FOMO. Don't let FOMO get you. Just let that go. Let
it slide.
Don't let the what if it goes another 100x get to you. Just let it go. Take what you got. Take what you got, buddy. You're not Charlie Munger. You don't have enough money to just sit and like lose millions over the course of 10 years to make a billion in 20, you know? So a little clickbaity, but I wanted to try it. Anyway, I have a couple comments here I'd started that I wanted to come back to, and then we can wrap up. You know, I know you're a busy man, Beavis. We're pushing an hour here, but I want to see Oath start from John Sips. I want to see Oath start a Fractal on Fraxchain, gas-free Ethos chapter on an L3 will be gold. Once again, John, I mean,
get in the freaking forums, John. In the freaking forums.
That is you, John. If anyone can do it, I know you can write the proposal, bro. And
John is a well-respected member of the community.
Oh yeah,
everybody will love that proposal.
I think we answered Adipaj's question here as we could, which was Monday, quote unquote. do you guys usually invest in projects that got hacked? I think this is a good question. I think it depends. It depends on what happened. Depends on how traumatic it was. Depends on what caused it. Depends on
how big the drawdown is, frankly.
Depends how big the drawdown is. Depends on how the team responded. There's lots of things, you know, like trying to think, like multi-chain. I would be very scared.
Rebuilding trust is extremely hard. And
FTX. I don't know. Like, I don't think that'd be good.
I would say generally as a rule of thumb, no, I think is the simplest way to answer this. But of course, there's like the world is not a binary, you know, there are factors that could, you know, make me curious about, you know, hey, you got hacked, but the fundamentals are still strong. Maybe it was only a partial loss of funds. Mm-hmm. Maybe you've paid everybody back. Maybe you're well capitalized.
Perhaps it is a siloed incident in a greater ecosystem, like a greater project, right? Let's say like one vault, yeah, one pool, a novel one or something, or you know what I mean? But if it's like a total project fucking meltdown, then usually not.
It's hard for me to look at a Kyber or an Euler and think, oh wow, that's bullish. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, like, in the event of a really heavily VC funded project that's fairly young, like Euler, for example, mm-hmm, like you have people like pissed off VCs with way more tokens that they got way cheaper. Like I wouldn't even think about, but if it's a grassroots project with a really solid team and the exploit was totally understandable, that's when I would think twice, but you don't see much of that, to be honest.
Yeah. It's one of the classic investment lines. I think this is from Buffett. I don't know. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm just making this up. This could be a pearl of wisdom straight from my brain, but I feel like I heard it somewhere before. What you're really investing in a lot of times is people more than like the project or whatever.
Yeah.
You're because the world is complicated. Shit happens, right?
Yeah.
But do you think the people running this business are capable of overcoming challenges like that, of learning from mistakes? That's really, I think, the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And then finally, the final comment I had here is, dude, there are paper euros, and that makes me sick to my stomach to even think about. I mean, I can't believe that's real.
Disgusting.
What's the safest euro stable coin? I believe Coinbase has one. You know, I'm a Coinbase fan.
Yeah. I mean, there are, who even knows? There's like AG euro, like Angle, mm-hmm, has a euro. But yeah, it's not a very in-demand currency, to be honest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, guys, that's the show, I believe. Beavis, you have anything else you want to say before we sign off?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I will reiterate, if you are a developer and you are interested in starting a Web3 career or building up your chops, we are sponsoring a free bootcamp where you can build with Moon, our infrastructure project, under the mentorship of our engineers and our team. It will be very, very fun. It will be very awesome. And by the end of it, you'll have an awesome portfolio piece built on bleeding edge crypto technology using our APIs under our mentorship. Super easy win if you're a developer. You know, you can do it just part-time or in the evenings or on the weekends. And highly, highly recommended. I hijacked the Block Bytes account to post the link to the LinkedIn in the chat.
Yeah. I want to address here, so rude talking about euro.
I'm sorry, dude.
It's in demand in Europe. You know I'm kidding. You know I love the euro.
Why don't you short the euro? Dude, yeah, the euro's dope. Know, the euro's dope.
I'm actually going long the euro. I'm trying to manipulate the market here. I'm trying to get people to sell their euros to me cheap. No.
The dragon chain to euro trade. One of the most.
Yeah, I'm pivoting from dragon chain to the euro. No, Philip, dude, hit me up on Twitter or Discord or whatever. I'd love to bants about the euro some more, because I do kind of want to learn more about it. Because I Stephen Vinyl saying it's in demand in Europe, and I agree. I mean, like, it's the currency that you use in Europe. But I think when we're saying like there's not really a lot of demand, I'm saying like from the blockchain perspective, it seems like most people prefer to transact in USDC. Yeah. But that's just by the size of the markets relatively.
Yeah. It could be a function of like everybody, like every blockchain participant compared to like the firms that trade Forex in size, being relatively poor.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Forex is like, you know, sovereign wealth fund shit. And those guys are, on another level. So maybe eventually. Although the Gains Network Forex is popping off, apparently. So shout out Gains Network.
Hell yeah. Well, folks, thanks so much for joining us today. I hope you had fun. I had a lot of fun on this show. I hope you learned something. Check out that bootcamp, because that is also a great way to 100x your life. Learn something useful.
Yeah.
So we will see you guys. I think I'm going to see you guys Tuesday. Going to have a surprise guest or two, maybe. Well, definitely I'll have one, but it may be two. So come check us out, and I will see you guys then. Adios, folks.
See you guys.